Hey, come on, let's go before the Lord. Father God, I thank you so much for Future Quest. I thank you so much, Jesus, for the work I believe, Lord God, that you want to orchestrate, that you want to do in this place tonight. God, steady our hearts, steady our minds, just to hear from you. I believe you have something to say specifically to some young men and some young women in this room tonight. Do what only you can do, Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
So after I preached this morning, my wife shot me a text because she's watching online, I guess. And she said, hey, did they fire you? Are they going to let you come back tonight? And I guess they did, man. I appreciate you guys jumping in with that word this morning. But tonight, I tell you guys, we're going to be in the Bible. We're going to read through a grip of scripture tonight. And here's what I want to do. Give me your eyes, give me your ears. I want you to hear this. I know there's plenty of fun stuff that you've done all afternoon. I know John Keith's going to bring the house down with a concert later on. But here's what I want from y'all. For the next little bit, give God your undivided attention for the next little while. And for some of you, listen, Future Quest is a thing you come to. Church groups is something that you show up to. And you come for all the extra stuff, the other stuff. But for some of you young men, some of you young women, you are far from Jesus. You don't even know Jesus. You're here with friends and you're just kicking it. And I'm glad you're here. And if you hear anything all weekend, I pray that you will hear what God has for you tonight. Some of y'all have walked with Jesus a long time, and you even have an expectation of maybe what tonight's gonna be about. But I would ask you to reevaluate and ready your heart to hear from Jesus uniquely and specifically tonight. I wanna begin by looking at a passage in Romans 8, verse 5. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome and writing to a group of people that were kind of both feet in different camps. And Paul gives a word to them that I believe God wants to give to us today to help us grow closer to him. It reads like this in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set, or put those two words together, have their mindset on what the flesh desires. The flesh is not just the skin that's on you and the muscles underneath that. The flesh is what's inside of us, our carnal side. The things we think about that no one else knows, the things that we do that no one else knows, the real person that we are apart from God. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit. Understand this, young people. You and I are flesh and bone, finite beings. But all of us are spiritual beings. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, God breathed his breath into them. God breathed his spirit into them. When Peter called on the name of God in Acts, God sent his Holy Spirit as a comforter, as a guide. And scriptures tells us that people were indwelled or full of the Spirit, for we are spiritual beings. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set, or put it together, their mindset on what the Spirit desires. On what God desires. Jump down to verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Paul is calling to the family of God. Paul is calling to the church of Jesus Christ. He is calling us black, white, Republican, Democrat. He's calling all of them together. He said, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, or translated, we have a debt. But it is not to the flesh. Look at me in the eyes, young people. Listen. Your debt, your obligation is not to the flesh and to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, here's something. Listen. We are all going to die. Listen, death is batting 1,000. But what Paul is saying here, he's talking about the spiritual death. Remember, I told you that we are spiritual beings, meaning the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that you live and walk on this planet are but a speck of eternity. You and I will live forever somewhere. Listen, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe me on that one, but understand something. This is the word of God. Hold on. That we are spiritual beings, but when we live according to the flesh, if we live in accordance with the flesh, the things that I want, the things that I think I need, the things that make me feel good, the things that just are comfortable to me, Paul says, I will die. Meaning, my spirit will be separated from God for eternity. And I want that to sit and weigh on you for a moment. I'm not here to scare you to Jesus. Remember what I told you this morning? I love y'all too much not to tell you the truth. And the truth isn't my truth, but the truth is the word of God. And you are either going to live underneath the authority of this word, or you are going to live by the flesh, which if I believe the words of Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, transformed by the person of Jesus Christ, if you live by the flesh, you will eternally be separated from God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, I'm going to tell you all again. Listen. Do me a favor. This is going to sound weird. Don't clap. Just listen. Listen. My kids clap for me when I do anything at home. Okay? I'm a bozo dad. I say stupid jokes. Ruby's like, oh, dad. Listen, I don't need y'all to clap tonight. Here's what I want you to do. Listen. When I get on my plane tomorrow morning to go to speak to another group of young people in Nevada, I'm not going to be listening for applause. My prayer on that plane tomorrow, tonight, is going to be, God, may these young men and young women hear from you, not hear from Carl, but hear from you. Listen. But if by the Spirit you put to death, that's translated, if you execute, if you crucify the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And if you're hearing the words coming out of my mouth through these speakers right now, you are like, wait a minute, Carl, I'm already alive. Yes, you are. But I told you, we are spiritual beings. There's more than this life. Listen to me, friends. There is more than this life. You're 14, 15, 16, 17, I don't know where you are in that spectrum, but listen. There is more than this life. There is more than this coming school year. There is more than what you're going to do the rest of this summer. There is more than what is on your phone. There is more than what is going on in your homes. There is more than what's going on online. There is more than what we can see, touch, and hear. There is more. And God is calling out to a generation of young people to say, would you look at me? Would you hear from me? Would you understand that my spirit is here right now, wanting to usher you and I into the next world? But we got an issue. Our issue is we're indifferent about the things of God. See, everything in this world in 2020 says, if you don't like this, you can do this. Or if you're really passionate about this, then that's all that matters, and you don't even need to think about this. And we've gotten so caught up on which side of the fence we fall that it's perpetuated and created an indifference in us. It's created a thing that says, if that's not really what I'm into, I don't need to care about it. If that's not what I'm really passionate about, I don't need to focus on it just yet. Look at me in the eye, young people. We cannot afford to be indifferent about our spirituality. And spirituality is not coming in this room and raising your hands and singing songs. Spirituality is the condition of my spirit, of the eternal part of me. And too many of us walk around indifferent, thinking that I'll work it out one day if I got time. I'll think about that when I'm a little older, or at summer camp, or next year. When I finish doing what I do, when I finish living by my fleshly desires. And here's the truth about that kind of posture. You only get time in this life. Hear me on this. We are spiritual beings. We all are going to live forever somewhere. But you can only decide that in this life. And a lot of y'all, young and old, we live on this side of the cross like we are going to live forever. Look at me in the eyes, young people. I am now old enough where I have seen enough kids die. Enough young men and young women who thought they had more time, whether it's by illness, by accident, where in a moment their lives have been snuffed away. And some of them were good kids. But some of those good kids will spend eternity separated from God. This isn't a scare tactic. This is reality. Please hear me on this. I don't get paid more money if more of you come down to the altar later. This is reality. That one day, it may be tomorrow, it may be 50 years from now, you will stand before God. Understand this. I don't care how many camps you went to. I don't care how good of a kid you are. I don't care if you didn't smoke, if you didn't have sex, if you never sworn. I don't care any of that. One day you will stand before God. Every person underneath the sound of my voice, myself included, will stand before God. And you don't get to stand before God in a crowd full of people. Entering into eternity is going to take some time. Because each and every one of us, by ourselves, not with your mammy, not with your pappy, not with your small group leader, not with your pastor, not with your really spiritual friend, you will stand before God alone. And we will have to give an account for what we did in this life. And that will dictate where we spend the rest of eternity. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Jesus is talking about the matter of indifference. And Jesus tells his disciples and the people listening that they can't afford to be indifferent towards the return of Jesus Christ, that they can't afford to be indifferent towards the Holy Spirit that makes ready the return of Christ, that they can't afford to be indifferent towards the resources and what God has given them on this side of the cross, that they can't afford to be indifferent towards the needy, they can't afford to be indifferent towards a lost humanity that will stand judgment. And then Jesus says this to them and to us. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man, that is Jesus personified in all of his glory, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, this ain't baby Jesus. This ain't teenager Jesus in the temple. This ain't Jesus on the cross. This ain't Jesus in the tomb. This isn't even Jesus before the ascension. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all his glory. His glory that is so mighty, that is so beautiful. Isaiah says that there are people in the throne room of God swirling around him, angels swirling around, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they have been singing this for eternity, that Jesus comes and the earth shakes and the sky splits and he comes with all of the angels. Thousands of angels along with the Son of God. And Jesus isn't in a manger. Jesus isn't in a boat. He's sitting on his throne. And I don't care who you are. In this moment, everybody knows. Everybody knows. All the nations. That word nations is translated all the ethnos, all the ethnicities of the world. Every tribe, every tongue will gather before him. Just picture that in your mind's eye. 8 billion people looking up to the sky. And here it is. And he, Jesus, will separate the people from one another. Jesus will separate people from one another. That they might understand it, Jesus tells a parable to help them understand what he means. And he says this, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Remember, I told you this morning that this is an agrarian culture. These are people who worked with animals. They understood instantly what Jesus was saying. You see, in first century Palestine, sheep and goat don't look like what we think sheep and goat look like. Even today in some parts of Asia and some parts of Africa, If a sheep came down this aisle and a goat came down this aisle, you guys would be able to tell the difference, right? When we think sheep and goat, we think of this, right? But understand this, to Jesus' listeners, sheep and goat looked exactly the same. I was blown away by this when I went to Africa. And I saw this from my own eyes. You cannot tell the difference. There are really precise and specific ways to tell the difference between sheep and goat. Here in the West, sheep and goat have been modified to provide us with whether it's wool or whether it's meat. They've been modified to look a certain way. But still today in parts of the world, sheep and goat look exactly the same, and only the one with the trained eye, or as Jesus puts it, the shepherd, can separate them. The sheep, he put on his right side. The majority of people in the world are right-handed. So when you see the word right in Scripture, speaking of a direction, you're talking about the blessed or favored side. So Jesus, the shepherd, puts the sheep on his favored side. Then the other side must be the unfavorable side. And that's where he places the goats. Verse 34. Now he's gone from shepherd to king. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He says, take eternity in my kingdom with my Father. And those on the right will look at Jesus. And we'll think about all the things that we did and did not do. We'll think about all the right things, all the wrong things. And as we're thinking about that, Jesus will say to us, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And now Jesus, the King, the Shepherd, he gives you your distinction. The righteous, the people on his right, will look at Jesus and will say, to Jesus, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And then the King will reply. Remember what I told you this morning? Sometimes we miss Jesus right there in our presence because we're focused on our problems, because we're focused on our comforts, because we're focused on this life and we're focused on the flesh. Go back to Romans 5:8. The King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Hear me on this, young people. Looking and behaving like sheep are two very different things. Looking and living like sheep are two very different things. And I've been around this game long enough. Your leaders have been around this game long enough. To tell you the truth, some of y'all look like sheep. But you're not. Because your life doesn't reflect the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. You can tell me all day long, "Carl, I'm a good kid. Carl, I'm a church kid. My more important question for you is, are you a committed, devoted follower of Jesus Christ? And if you are, then let your life reflect such. No more lip service. You're either a sheep or you're not. Dallas Willard, a guy who's much smarter than me, he said this: God's grace is not opposed to effort, but to earning. The grace of God is not opposed to effort, but it's opposed to earning. Meaning this, hear me on this, and you can't get this twisted. You can't earn your way into the family of God. That's grace. Receiving something that we do not deserve. But that doesn't mean you can sit around on your biscuit and think because you do good church things or you're not as bad as someone else that you'll sit on the right hand of the Son and the right hand of the Father. Then he will say to those on his left, the three scariest words in all of Scripture. Look at me, young people. The three scariest words in all of eternity. The three words you never want to hear, particularly from the mouth of Jesus. Depart from me. You who are cursed into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I'm not a devil, Carl. But you're not a sheep. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And then they will answer. Wait, Jesus. Wait a minute. I went to Future Quest. Wait, Jesus. I went to youth group all the time. Wait, Jesus. I didn't do all those bad things. Wait, Jesus. When did I see you hungry? When did I see you thirsty or a stranger or needing clothing or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do, whatever your life does not reflect, whatever the fruit of your life does not produce, you did not do for me. I sat the last couple of weeks, man. I'm telling you, like, just thinking about tonight's service and thinking about a funny story to tell y'all, thinking about something to grab your attention and get your buy-in for a little bit. And my wife, because she's smarter than me, this afternoon, I still couldn't really decide, well, God, what do you have for me to tell to these young people? My wife said to me, Carl, speak what the Lord puts on your heart. And here it is, friends. This is what God put on my heart. Get on the right side. This life is fleeting. This life is passing away. Come on, listen to me, somebody. We saw our world shut down like it has never shut down before. We saw 500,000 people lose their life. We saw an economy crash. You understand? Y'all just lived through something that has only happened 3 times in the last 1,000 years. Get on the right side. Not because you're afraid of COVID, but because you are afraid of hearing those words, depart from me. And some of y'all are living like goats. And you got everybody fooled that you're a sheep. Some of y'all don't even care about being a sheep. But I'm here to tell you tonight, this life will end. My mother, who I love so dearly, is in Atlanta right now. And my mother is dying of leukemia. My mom just stopped chemotherapy 2 weeks ago. And here it is, listen to me. My mom is going to die in the next few months, not years, but months. But you know what? As much as it's gonna hurt me on this side of eternity, I know when she closes her eyes in this world, she will open them in the next and she will stand before the Father. She will stand before the Son and he will look at her and he say, come to my right, blessed child. Take my inheritance. Take your kingdom. But my mama is an old lady and she had a lot of years. to decide that when she was a teenager, your age, and live the rest of her life reflecting that she is a sheep, that she is a follower of Jesus, and her life produced the fruit of that. I don't stand here today, but outside of the biological reasons, I don't stand here today if my mother did not understand, did not commit herself to leading and loving the way that Jesus does. So what says you? You a sheep or you a goat? I can't decide that for you. Your parents can't decide that for you. Youth pastors can't decide that for you. That's on you. And listen to me here, young people. You never have to worry about where you stand with someone who is willing to die for you. You never have to worry if you're good enough, if you're smart enough, if you're rich enough, if you're good enough because you're not, with someone who's willing to die for you. And Jesus died for you so that you would have the opportunity to come to him. That you would have an opportunity to live out loud for him. That you would be able to spend this life telling as many people as possible that the next life is forever. And you get a choice in this one of where you'll spend it. Choose Jesus. And here's what I'm not going to do. I don't want you to get in all in your feelings about this. Because listen, feelings aren't facts. I want you to make a sober-minded decision tonight. I'm gonna tell you this again, because that guy just told me to. Feelings are not facts. And what did I tell you? I tell you, you will stand before God alone. And give an account for this life. Now I know I could say things. I could have the band come out here. Don't come out, band. I could have them come out here and play songs. And y'all be like, ooh, oceans, you got me out of the water. And then you're right back at it in 25 minutes. Some of y'all, ready? Here's this. Some of y'all are sheep. You're just living like goats. Right? So I'm not talking to you just quite yet. Some of y'all are sheeps. You are followers of Jesus Christ, but you're just living like a goat. But some of y'all, you don't know Jesus. And this is too important to be indifferent about. Jesus Christ loved you so very much that he left heaven and came down to earth lived on this earth for 33 and a half years in flesh and blood as a man, fully God yet fully man. And he did it so you would never have to question, does Jesus know what it's like to be me? Because he was in skin and bones, he was flesh like you, and he knows what it's like to be you. But because Jesus wants you to spend eternity on the right side of the cross, Jesus gave himself up. He allowed himself to be mocked, to be beat, to be nailed to a cross, to suffer for 6 hours on that cross, so that the atonement would be made, so that the payment for all of our sin, all of our trespasses, all of our transgressions would be paid for once and for all by the perfect and blameless Lamb of God. And 2,000 years later, he did that so that tonight, some of you for the very first time can say, I choose you, Jesus. I want to be a sheep. I want to be a follower. I want to commit my life. And I'm not just going to commit my life in words, but in action. That wherever I go and I see the least of these, I will look at them and see you, Jesus. And I will serve them like I would serve you, Jesus. I will love them like I love you, Jesus. Jesus, tonight, I want to be on the right side. So here's what I'm telling you. And don't get caught up in the hype. If you're sitting here tonight, not somebody who's already said yes to Jesus, but you're living like a goat. I ain't talking about y'all yet. If you don't know this Jesus I'm talking about, and tonight, for the very first time, you want to say, I want you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something, and in 1 second, and you got the rest of y'all got to bear with me. If you want to say yes to Jesus for the very first time, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I don't want any of y'all to clap just yet, because I want to talk to those folks. And if you came here with a friend, and you know Jesus, and you want that friend to know Jesus, you know the brokenness and the junk and the yuck going on in that friend's life, and you're like, I know they need Jesus. Right now, you should be praying. Right now, you should be praying. Listen, the only thing that we can do is serve like Jesus and pray like Jesus. Right now, you should be praying. Holy Spirit, would you speak to the spirit that's inside of my friend right now, Lord God? That they would have the courage right now to stand up and say yes to you. To stand up and live forever with you. If you know Jesus, you should be praying for those friends right now. And if that's you, and it might be one person in this whole room. I'm not going to tell anybody to close their eyes and bow their heads. I ain't telling you to do that. Listen, we do everything else in this world for everybody to see. We're going to do this for the world to see. If for the very first time you want to say yes to Jesus, you believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You don't understand it all, but you want to believe it all. And you want Jesus to be the Lord and King of your life. If you want to start living for Jesus for the very first time today, on the count of three, I want you to stand up. 1, 2, 3. Rise to your feet. Don't worry about whatever anybody else is saying, whatever anybody else is doing. One day you're going to stand before God, just you and him. Have the courage right now to stand up in a room full of people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at me, y'all. Y'all some of the bravest kids in the entire world. But let me tell you what's next. The world's going to come after you like it's never come after you before. Satan's going to try to distract you like he's never distracted you before. Satan's going to try to make you question yourself like he's never made you question yourself before. Satan is upset about the decision that was just made. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to start living like goats. He's going to do everything he can to make you start to go back to your earthly desires, to your fleshly desires. But King Jesus died so that sin in you would be dead forever, so that sin in you would be separated as far as the east is from the west, so that you would be known and found and called a son, called a daughter of the King. And today, Jesus says, take my inheritance, come into my kingdom, and do not let anything ever dissuade you from that. Today is the first day of eternity. Today is the first day of forever. Come on. Come on. Come on. You, come on. Come on. Come on. All the way. Hey. Quiet. Listen. Come here. All the way. Come close. Listen to me. Come close so you can hear me. Come on. The mic's not broke. I'm going to turn it off for a second. Now, like Paul said, brothers and sisters, would y'all welcome your brothers and sisters home? Turn around. Hey guys, and hear me on this, ready? Y'all brave brothers and sisters up front, all over heaven, those same angels, they're shouting a praise. Get back up here, you're gonna be a preacher one day, come on. You already up here, you in line, man. Now here's why this matters. Those of y'all who are already followers of Jesus Christ, who are sheep that have been living like goats, look at how God could use you. Look at how God could use you in your schools and on your teams if you stop faking and posing and living for the flesh and started living for Him. Look at how God could change lives for eternity. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a sheep, but you've been living like a goat, and you're ready to leave behind those ways, like I talked about this morning. You're really ready to leave those ways behind and start living for Jesus today. I want you to come down here, and ready? I want you focusing on you. You're not going to come down here and start crying. Come down and cry if you want. I don't care. But what I really want you to do, I want you to come down here and show Satan that you're a sheep. Show Satan that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't know these kids, but I want you to come down here and I want you to put your hand on their shoulders and I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray that God would find them rooted and God would establish them in a journey with Him. Because ready? They're going to say to the ones on the right, when did I see you hungry and didn't give you nothing to eat? Right now. When did I see you thirsty and not give you a cup of water? Right now. When did I see you a stranger and didn't come to visit you? Right now. Listen, don't make this about you. It's about them. And it's about the thousands and thousands of kids that they represent. Right now, look at, they're all up here. Don't just crowd, they're all up here. Don't tell them to come to you, you come to him. Because you want to come to that kid that's in your high school, he ain't going to come to you, you got to come to him. Put a hand on his shoulder. Tell him you see him. Tell him God sees you. Look at all these kids right here. They need somebody to tell them Jesus loves them. They need somebody to show them that Jesus loves them. Lay a hand on them. Start praying for them like you never prayed for nobody before. That they wouldn't struggle. That they wouldn't doubt. That they would know who Christ is and they would live a life for him. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brother right here. Father God, I lift him up before you. I pray, Father God, that you would establish him as a man of God. That the fruit in his life would be fruit for you. Jesus, that during difficult seasons when he's suffering, then difficult seasons of pain, Lord God, he wouldn't look to the flesh, but he would look to the cross. Father God, for each and every young man and young woman at the foot of this stage, may you root them, may you establish them. May you tell them, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home.